All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Cox, and welcome to the Heartwork Podcast. This morning, folks, I've got a very special guest on with me. It is Ron Deal. Let me just give you a little bit of information about Ron, and then we're just going to jump right in, let him join the conversation. But Ron is a husband to Nan since 1986 and the proud father of Braden, Connor, and Brennan. He says everything else is just details, but I want to give you a few of those details about Ron. Ron is a best-selling author. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist, podcaster, and popular conference speaker who conducts Laugh and Learn. I want to hear just a little bit more about that. When it comes to marriage and family seminars, professional training around the country and online, he specializes in both marriage enrichment and step family education. We're going to get into that a bit as well. Frequently featured in the national media, Ron has worked full-time in marriage and family ministry since 1988, serving in both local churches and with Family Life. He currently serves as president of the Smart Families and senior director of Family Life Blended, a division of Family Life. He is the most widely read and viewed author of Blended Families in the country. You don't have anything to do in your spare time, I guess, Ron. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Michael. I think I'm probably like you. I got more than enough on my plate to keep me busy.
Yeah. Yeah, you got plenty happening. So, again, welcome. It's so good to have you on. And I met back in February, I think is when it was.
Exactly, yeah.
At an Art Restoration Therapy Summit, and got to connect with you after hearing about your book, which we're going to talk about in just a second. But it's just really good to have you on, man. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I've been looking forward to this. And yeah, instant connection with you. I can tell we're like-minded. We're passionate about the same stuff, trying to help people and families. And yeah, so look, I've really been looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. Well, let me just jump in it really quick. If you guys haven't, I'm going to show it, flash it up. If you have not had a chance to connect or read Ron and his wife, Nan, along with Sharon and Terry Hargrave, are the authors of The Mindful Marriage. I can tell you, and I will tell you just a few stories in just a little bit, Ron, but I would love to hear a little bit about yourself, Ron, how you got to this book, and we'll talk about a few others, but whatever you want to tell us about it, how did you guys get to writing this book? What does it connect with you and Rent Nan? The above.
Yeah, well, you mentioned restoration therapy a minute ago. I know that's a model that you use in your clinical work, and I do too. But before it was something I used in my clinical work, it was used on me. So here's the backstory. Nan and I, at this point, have been married almost 40 years, which is just really hard for me to even believe.
Wow.
But at year 21, we hit a wall. Mm. We're like a lot of people. We love big and we fight strong. You know, we have always loved each other. We have had plenty of dips in our relationship, and I would say valleys, really big valleys. Some of that about us, some of that about life and circumstances.
Yeah.
We've been through some hard stuff. But it was year 21. I'm already a family ministry person, practicing therapist, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? Sometimes you can't see yourself. You can't see in the mirror well enough to know who you are, what you're doing, how that's contributing to some difficulties in your relationship. And that was true of both of us, and we hit a wall, year 21, and chapter one, page one of this book, The Mindful Marriage, is the day my wife said, you're out of here or I'm out of here, but I'm not living like this anymore. We, with all of the good that we had in our relationship, we also just had this underlying theme of the cycle over and over that we would find ourselves in, and we just couldn't get past it, and we didn't know how to resolve things, and it just wasn't going well. And I knew we had problems, but I didn't realize she was sort of at a breaking point. And that day she said, something's got to give. I said, let's get some help. We tried a couple of phone calls. None of the people I trusted were available. She said, well, find somebody.
Somebody, yeah.
She was mad. She's throwing suitcases on the bed. Like, I mean, she was making a strong statement.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, I know this guy, he's in town, but there's no way we're going to get in to see him. He's the only other person I would trust, Dr. Terry Hargrave. Mm-hmm. And he's probably got a 6-month waiting list. And she said, call him. This is chapter one, page one of the book. Like, yeah, you want to know the rest of the story. People should just dive in. So I call him, and he graciously, and I would just say God's mercy, opened the door. We were in his office the next morning at 9 a.m. And that was the beginning of a journey for us to look more deeply into who we are and how we are with one another than we've ever been on before. Mm. And it was not a quick fix. It's, in fact, here we are.
Still fixing.
Still fixing. Many years, 20 years past. I mean, I don't know what the math is. We are way past that. Mm-hmm. And we're still growing up. But we know what it is.
Yeah.
And we know what to do with it. And and things that used to last 2 weeks, you know, arguments that just sort of went on and on and on and never had a resolution. We just sort of found our way around it, found our way back into life and kids and doing stuff and just sort of kept going. And there was plenty of good. It's not like we were miserable. I just think we were like a lot of people. You have so much good that you just keep going, but it's slowly building to this place where you just can't do it anymore. And that was us.
Yeah.
And so now we're at a place. Fast forward, it transforms us. It gives us new hope. I start working with couples and families and applying the principles and in the work that I was doing and finding great success with that. And come full circle, we have always stayed in touch with Terry and Sharon. They become friends and mentors to us. And we go to them about 4 years ago now, no, 5 years ago now, and basically said, you do a lot of academic work. A lot of your writing is hard for people to read unless you just happen to be studying at an advanced level in marriage and family therapy. And
exactly.
Nan's language to Terry was, we want to help put the cookies on the bottom shelf. We want to make it easy for people to get to what you have developed.
Okay.
And could we write a book together and try to take it to the masses?
Yeah.
And they said yes. And that is The Mindful Marriage. It is, in my mind, the most theoretical, sophisticated, integrated Christian, you know, deep in theology, rich in theology, as well as all kinds of attachment theory, neuroscience, the latest and the greatest stuff put together in a user-friendly fashion.
Very practical.
That's how I would describe restoration therapy. And this book is an attempt to make it accessible to people on a regular, everyday basis.
Yeah.
And so we're just so proud of it. And I brag on it and I tell people it's not because of us. The only thing we contributed to the book is putting it all together and sharing our testimony. The book is about our tragedy, our story, and our victory, and about the Hargrave's principles. So the real genius behind it is they, and we're just sort of the living example.
For sure. You know, I think you brought up a good point. This is part of what is beautiful about the work you and I get to do when it comes to restoration therapy is that it is it's one of the only practices, maybe theories that are out there where it hits home for you as the therapist just as much as it does for whoever's sitting in your office, right? My wife and I, very similar, got introduced to the RT world by going to the intensive where the RT was birthed at the Hideaway, and it rocked our world, right? Yeah. It was literally right after I finished graduate school and was trying to figure out what am I gonna do with this new degree that I have? And we go to the intensive to learn, right? We were gonna go learn the model. And
they snuck it in on you, didn't they?
They snuck it in. And it was literally like, we weren't in tragic. We weren't in a place where we're, thankfully, Coloma hadn't put any suitcases on the bed yet. And yet we were at a place where we realized we needed so much help. And so I love that it isn't just something that we practice as a theory. What I get from this book, what I've read in The Mindful Marriage, what I've literally seen multiple couples give back is they're able to place this into their own lives, into their own context, their own relationship. And honestly, the next step is then having tools to see something different, right? So the journey that you and Nan have been on, where you're on now, people are not only relating to your stories, they're relating to know that there's a better outcome. There's another way to do it.
Yes.
And that is captured in The Mindful Marriage.
And let me just say something about what you and I both said. Like, they snuck it in on us. Like, this, what I really love about this, it's so sophisticated. This is not just on the surface treatment right? You know, we're going to help you fix a problem. No, no, no. This is a model, a way of doing life that is, I'll call it discipleship. It is going to mature me throughout my life. Mm-hmm. Because as I keep working, I keep growing. I keep developing. Yeah. I keep discovering parts of me that are a little unbecoming that I want to work on. And the model is not limited to a problem or a particular thing. Mm-hmm. It is growing people.
Yeah.
And because of that, it becomes a way of developing as a person. For me, my Christian faith is exceedingly important to me. This moves me to the heart of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes a life plan.
Yeah.
Far beyond whatever, you know, problem may have brought you to the moment to begin to learn something. You just keep going. So even if you're healthy and doing pretty well in life, man, is this transformative.
Yes. Well, it's a chance to see growth. So I will just for you. Kudos to you, Nan, to Terry and Sharon in developing this. But what I've experienced as a therapist, even in the Christian world, are I have had a number of people come across my door because they've come across this book. They're at a place where they're saying there's something in this that is hitting a chord within their personal life, within their marriage, and they want to know more, and they want to know more of how to do that. I can't tell you, I probably should have counted before we got on this, but I can't tell you how many people who have literally come to my practice in the last year, since January when this came out, that this is what brought them. And to literally, my wife and I had the opportunity to go spend some time in Virginia a couple of weeks ago with a couple that weird story. I'm not going to just take them up at our time talking about it, but they came to us via finding this book. They had been doing some work, struggling. They're a family of eight children, excuse me. So that makes them a family of 10. And very much pointed them to some of your work when it comes to blended families, because five of those kids are adopted. Okay. But they came to us via this and were able to see, hey, there was something that was able to connect in what I do, my wife and I do, but it started through mindful marriage. So just a chance to applaud what God is doing through this work. I know y'all are fully aware of that, but to know there are things that are happening maybe that you're unaware of, and lives are being impacted to a degree that it's really cool to see and watch God do that through this book. So,
That is so fun to hear. Thank you for that. That's why you write. It's because there's going to be people who are impacted in ways that I'll never know.
Yeah.
And that's just really exciting for me.
Well, Ron, tell me a little bit more about the other work or additional work you do. You've got, you know, even reading your bio and your information, there's a lot that's out there. Help our audience know a little bit more about the work you've done with blended families, step families. Maybe clear that up a little bit, and we'll kind of jump on that train a bit.
Yeah, so I've always been involved in marriage and family from a broad perspective types of ministry and therapy. But, you know, back about 32 years ago, I stumbled my way into working with step families. Mm-hmm. I had good clinical training and had good experience as a youth minister working with kids from complex family environments. But really, it was my clinical training that helped me get my head around what's going on in these homes, what's happening with the transition, how does that impact children. And I came out of graduate school thinking we need to do more to prevent problems and develop blended family situations and grow them. And so I sort of stumbled my way into this ministry that a decade later really took over my life. It turns out I was one of the only people thinking about this, writing about this, talking about it, trying to do something. And even though I didn't know what I was doing, other people thought I knew what I was doing. And so that pulled me forward into this domain called blended family ministry. Mm-hmm. And today, that's what I've been almost exclusively focused on now for about almost 20 years.
Wow.
And so lead the largest blended family ministry in the country, actually in the world, because there's hardly anybody doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're trying to get more people on board. So we're getting there slowly but surely. Yeah. So at the end of the day, we've developed a whole series of books, video curriculum, resources for leaders who want to help other couples in their communities. We do training on a regular basis, both for couples, live events, virtual events, as well as church leaders and counselors. I do therapist training. We're just trying to equip people for life and people for ministry and counseling. And And so it's been a blast. It's been a blast. There's such a wonderful opportunity here and such a need. Here's what it comes down to. Step family living is very different than biological first family, nuclear family living. There's some things that are wonky, you know, that are just sort of upside down, I like to say.
Yeah.
Dynamics that are different. And when people, even with good intentions and big hearts and whole hearts, love another person, love their kids, you love my kids, mm-hmm. the best of intentions won't necessarily help you navigate those upside downs unless you understand what's going on and what you can do about it.
Yeah.
But the good news is, once we point people in the right direction, give them the right map for the mm-hmm. territory they're actually traveling.
Yeah.
Wow, does that make a difference? Imagine your GPS if you plugged in an address someday and it sent you to Timbuktu and you didn't know it. You're just driving.
It's getting there.
And you're going fast, but you're completely lost. You don't even realize it. That's sort of what it's like for a lot of blended family couples. Well, we give them the right map. And boy, did they make progress after that.
Yeah. You know, something I just as a little sidebar, I just have it saved in one of my tabs. Your training's coming up. For therapist, and I'm really hoping I can make it happen for this, right? So what is happening is I don't know where it, I obviously think it's part of God's work and folks that come to me, but this family in Virginia is one of them, and it's happened multiple times. You know, and I don't know, so it's a question, let me put this as a question, is a lot of families have come to me where maybe there are families who are from a Caucasian background mm-hmm. and they've adopted children that are from an African-American background. Mm-hmm. And so they'll come to me and, you know, and I think they're in their best efforts. They want to try to have someone that child can feel like they can relate to with culture and background. But I wouldn't say that I am an expert in blended families or step families.
Yeah.
But they're coming, they're trying to seek out that help and trying to seek someone to help their child and help them as a family through those things. I have sent numerous people to the website and getting books and those kind of things because I'm like, hey, I'm not the expert, but need to learn obviously and work in those things. What would you say, whether it's to myself as a therapist, others who are doing this work, you mentioned a while ago that there's a difference between,
right.
you know, blended families, step families, and maybe biological families, but there's a unique work there. What would be the challenge to maybe other therapists or other individuals trying to minister to assist families who are blended?
Okay. So first of all, let me make a little distinction and then I'll answer your question. So complex families is sort of a general category in which I would talk about children who live in a single parent home and move to another home, maybe another single parent, or that person has recoupled, living with or married to somebody who's a step parent to the child. And that's a two household arrangement for kids, right? Yeah. Step families specifically are families where a child preceded the marriage. Adoptive families are families where the couple was married and then they adopted a child into their family system. Some adopted families are also step families, if you know what I mean. Like there was a child that preceded the marriage and now they're together and now they're adopting a child into them. So there's a lot of different arrangements. And the specific lane that I've really focused on has been the step family lane, also sometimes called blended families. Today, some people are saying blended families includes adoption, includes foster families. That's sort of a much broader category I would call complex families. But here's the point. There are some uniquenesses that are common among those different kinds. So, for example, adoptive families and step families have a similar dynamic where the adults are trying to bond with a child. Somebody is, at least one in the step family situation, the step parents trying to bond with a child that's not their biological child.
Yeah.
For adoptive couples, they're bringing a child in. That's not their biological child. This child has history, has DNA, has life experiences, sometimes difficult, sometimes traumatic. Some of those are outside the child's awareness. If you adopt a child when they're 6 months old, they don't remember much, they don't remember anything about life before. But here's the thing, but even as they grow and begin to get their head around, where do I come from? Mm-hmm. What is my identity? How do I fit and belong with you? Mm-hmm. Stepchildren have a similar journey.
Yeah.
Who am I? Where am I from? Who are these people that are important to me? And now how do I make space for step-parent in my heart when I already have a biological mom and dad? That journey is full of ups and downs and ins and outs. And for that bonding parent or adoptive parent, they are trying to navigate that as best they can.
Right.
And here's one of the upside downs. the adults almost always in a blended family situation have a high degree of motivation mm-hmm. toward bonding with this child. Scale mm-hmm. of 1 to 10, you ask the average step parent, they're a 9. The average adoptive parent is a 9.2. Yeah. You know, they are way high on the scale of trying to figure out life with this stepchild, adopted child. But children are something below that on day mm-hmm. one. They could be an 8, could be an 8.5. Maybe they're an 8.9. Maybe they're right there, but it's a little below. Most kids, especially stepchildren, are a 5 or a 3, or occasionally they're a 1.
Yeah.
And well,
real
guess
quick,
what?
Ron, on that point, sorry to interrupt you, but I have a question. Is that different when it comes to age? Like, does that
yes.
number go down depending on the age level of the child?
It does. Children under the age of 5 tend to be an 8.9, right? Because they're just open to adults. They fall in love with babysitters, and they fall in love with the neighbor next door who helps, you know, who shows up every now and then. Like, they just sort of let people in. That's an advantageous time to mm-hmm. adopt a child or become a step-parent to a child. The most difficult window of time for kids is somewhere between the ages of 10 and 15, and, you know, puberty and all kinds of things are changing. They're very centered on their friendships, social, that kind of stuff. And so it's just an awkward time. Well, imagine you marry somebody who has a child who's 19 mm-hmm. or 26. Mm-hmm. Well, they're adulting. They're moving out and away from the family. Right. Bonding is about moving back in. That doesn't mm-hmm. even make sense for the child. But here's the 9 on a 10 scale adult and the 3 on a 10 scale child. Guess what? We have a motivation gap.
Yeah.
And therein lies the rub, because the adult's saying, oh, hey, let's spend time together. And this kid's mm-hmm. like, yeah, no, I don't need you. Oh, hey, I want to be a parent and mentor you in life. No, I don't need that from you.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to discipline you and I need to teach you a lesson. No, I'm not going to embrace your authority at all. Therein lies problems, like day in and day out. How do you navigate that space? Mm. And it's not just about parenting, because here's what happens. This person says, I'm going to parent you. The child says, no, you're not. And the child then goes, hey, mom, your husband, he's telling me what for, and I don't want him to. So, mom, what are you going to do about that? And now the biological parent is pitted in the middle, mm-hmm. doesn't know what to do, can't win for losing. If I side with my husband, my kid feels like I betrayed him. If I side with my kid, my husband feels like he's unimportant. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like we went from happy to unhappy in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that's wonky. Mm-hmm. But we help people make sense of that, understand what's going on, figure out a pathway through. And when they work together as a team, bio parent and step parent, more often than not, it leads to better things. Not instant, mm-hmm. but it leads to better things.
It's work. Yeah. Which is, you know, what you and I know, at least I know, is there are already obstacles, especially I do a lot of work that focus on adolescents, mm-hmm. right? There are already some of those obstacles that a child is experiencing or an adolescent is experiencing. And then you add on a new environment, a new adult in my life. Mm-hmm. There are added pressures there. What would you say to families that are out there how do you show a level of grace for what the child is experiencing, right? Because we do mm-hmm. some work, obviously, with the adults and what they bring to the table and their desires. But how does an adult or a parent in this environment have some grace around what the adjustments that are already adolescent adjustments.
Yes.
And now they're thrusted into a whole new environment and relationship.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because a lot of times you're not sure if, is this a teenager-y thing or is this a step thing? Sometimes it's a little of both. It's hard to distinguish. Let's do a little scenario. Let's just imagine stepdad walks in to 16-year-old stepdaughter's room and says, hey, really need you to clean your room. We got some people coming over a little bit later. We just want the house to pick up. The house to be picked up. Yeah. And 16-year-old says, you are not my dad. I do not have to do this, right? Just flat out, nope. Yep. And you don't have the right to tell me. What is stepdad to do? Okay, well, here's the ideal sort of reply, and we can then talk around what's behind it that allows him to be able to say this. I think ideally he says, to your point, is really good, compassion for this kid. If he can look beyond that no from mm-hmm. this child with an attitude. Mm-hmm. You can look beyond it and see a kid who, my goodness, for the last 15 years of your life, you've been in transition, unwanted mm-hmm. transition. Your parents split up or your dad died and you went through awful tragedy.
Yeah.
And You didn't know which way was up. You didn't know who was safe. You didn't know where to go. And you figured out, you survived along with your mom. You guys made it through the single parent years. Those were rough. You didn't have much money. You had to change homes. You couldn't see your grandparents on dad's side, blah, 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 on and on and on and on and on. And then I came into your life and that brought more transition into your world. And you're just beginning to get your head around how this all works. And now you got six step siblings that you got to share the house with. And you never had to do that before. And if you can see all of that in that moment, then his first response is something like, you know what? I get it. This is the compassion part. Mm-hmm. I get it. Man, this is hard. Here's another thing you're having to deal with. Life is thrown at you. And I happen to be the guy who's telling you to clean, pick up your socks.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I get it. I understand this. This is tough. Now here comes the parental part. But your mom and I have decided, that's key, mm-hmm. that everybody has to clean up their own room. And so there's no exception for you. I clean my room. You guys got to clean your room. You got to clean right now, because we got people coming over.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. You can either do it or I'll pay your brother with your allowance to do it for you. Turn and walk out of the room. Now notice, we had the magic combination. We had compassion. I can see you. I can see how hard this is. And there's another thing. I'm getting your life's thrown at you. However, you still got to abide by the rules. And I still get to tell you to abide by the rules. And the reason he has the ability and the authority to actually enforce that rule is because he and his wife are unified.
Yeah.
They've talked, they're on the same team. He knows that later mom's going to come home, go up to her 16-year-old's room and go, hey, heard you had a little run-in today about cleaning up your room. By the way, your brother's excited to make that money and he's thrilled. And you know, I don't know why you made the decision you did, but I just want you to know it's your job to clean your room. Mm-hmm. And so you can deal with not having an allowance this week. By the way, I hope you make a better decision next week. Love you. And turn and walk out of the room. Yeah. And that little wink and that little thing says, I'm still here. I still love you. I'm with you. I see you. But my husband and I, your stepdad and I are a team. And this is the way life rolls.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to get used to that. And he has the ability through the power I am sharing with him to ask you to do this.
Yeah.
Now that's really important for a kid who's trying to figure out, where do I put this stepdad in my heart?
Really fit. Yep.
You're not my authority, but you kind of are. You're a positional authority is the way we would say it.
Yep.
And through mom, you have authority, like a babysitter has authority through the biological parent who has put them in charge. So that is the way you buy time as a step parent to develop a relationship and still get the socks picked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You it's not like you're stepping in going, oh, new sheriff in town, you're going to do it because I said so. No, no, no. It's a softer, gentler, friendship sort of positional authority until you and I buy time together. And we come to like each other, maybe even, well, trust. I mean, safety comes before love, right? So safety is going to develop eventually an opportunity for us to like and love each other. That is to be seen when that happens. 16-year-old might be 25 before that happens. But in the meantime, I'm going to see you. I'm going to try to be gentle. And we're still going to try to get stuff done.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're bringing up something that I think you and I have talked a little bit about this, where maybe some of our worlds collide. You made an indirect point is what's happening in that is the parents are getting grounded for themselves.
Yes.
And then able to engage the child, right? And so there's a sense of being able to offer compassion. So how does that happen? That happens because the parents aren't wrapped up in my identity is whether or not you respect me or you do what I say.
You got it.
Or those things, right? It is truly being able to, because they are looking to, even if it is in a step or blended environment or a biological environment, that child is still looking, talk about attachment, right? They're still looking to that parent for some stability and safety, their identity and love, they're looking to that. And so if a parent is reacting in their own, what you and I know in the world of RT, their own pain, their difficulty, then you start this cycle, right? That happens between the two of them. And so I'd love to transition just a little bit into when it comes to knowing Ron as Ron the dad, and you are in a different stage of life than I'm in right now, right? Your kids are all out of the house, right?
They are out of the house. Okay. Our youngest
children,
is
What's that?
Youngest is 26.
Okay.
Our oldest is 31 and has given us a grandson. So I have a grandson who's 13 months old. And man, grandparenting really is everything they said it would be. It really is delightful, brother. Just keep going. Yeah. You're going to get there.
I'm not ready yet. I'm looking forward to it, but not ready. My oldest is only 18. So I'm like,
the timing's not, timing is not time everything.
what does this season look like for you guys when it comes to, you know, you're doing a lot of work with helping families work through struggles, particularly maybe blended step families, but also marriages.
Yes.
What does this season mean for you and Nan? You're getting to enjoy a new 13-month-old baby, and spoil them, send them back, all those things that happens. Yes. What does this new season look like for y'all?
Well, I will say, because we did our work on our marriage and on ourselves, we are really enjoying this season. Empty Nest is a lot of fun. We do some ministry stuff together, but we have our own interests and careers and things that we're invested in. But we have options, be an empty nest, to travel and be with friends and do those kinds of things. And that's just been delightful. We just got back from New Zealand, a part ministry, part vacation trip. And my goodness, it was just stunning and gorgeous. And so to be able to do those things comes with the freedom of being an empty nest. Now, let me just add the little tidbit but we're still parenting.
Exactly.
So I knew we were going to feel this. But it's really acute that we experience, when your children are really, really young, you're physically tired. It's so demanding. When they get to be adults, you have this availability, but hands off, you're not telling anymore. You're just maybe mentoring, but at their wish and desire as they open the door for that.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you're watching and you're going, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You have this emotional tiredness around the things you can't control. And so you still have to deal with powerlessness. You still have to self-regulate.
Yep.
Absolutely. You still have to say, wait a minute, how do I maintain me in the midst of what's going on here so I can be available but not push my way in? And that's a delicate tightrope to walk. And sometimes you're just not sure. Nan and I are checking in with each other. What do you think? Should we do? Should we not do? We're constantly in conversation about our adult children and their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. You make a great point, Ron. And some of that is a bit of admiration. I'm still in the physical day-to-day tired stage of being an Uber driver and finding cars and all that stuff, right? But you make a great point that I think is helpful for all, maybe folks in my stage below me or any of this, or behind me, not below me. Is that you did the work earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to you're at a place where
we can enjoy it. We can enjoy it.
Yeah, because you did the work. And I think that's the challenge I would put out to folks right now is that, this isn't about perfection. I always say leave that at the door because we're not even having that conversation. It's about putting in the work of understanding how y'all got caught up and where difficulties were and, some that we didn't necessarily get to, but you've shared with me how you can be after it. You've got a lot on your plate. And one of those things that Nan helped you see was that she's being lost in that, right? And so it's getting all of those things. You did that work. That doesn't mean that you've arrived, it's you're finished, but y'all did the work. And I think that's the challenge to folks as parents, as couples, as individuals, to do the work. For what we always do, people talk about saving for retirement and making sure you've got plenty of money in the bank for retirement, which is necessary, all those things. But what we miss is doing the work on your relationship, doing the work on the relationship now as part of that investment, as part of building equity in the relationship so that you can enjoy it down the road. So, Ron, man, I really appreciate you being on. It's so good. I think we could probably talk for a few more hours, but both of us have life to continue on.
We do.
I do want to challenge folks, get out there. If you have not read The Mindful Marriage, get out there and get that book now. It's something that's going to, I can say, revolutionize your marriage. We've gotten to work with couples and small group in different areas and using this book and seeing transformation, but also all the work that Ron has going on. Ron, if you would, take a few minutes, let us know how folks can find you, what your information is, the work you do, that kind of thing, to kind of wrap us up and let folks know where to get the resources you have available.
Would be happy to. So I have a footprint in a couple of different organizations. The easiest way to find what we're doing, where we're going to be speaking events and that kind of thing, rondeal.org, rondeal.org. That's a portal that'll connect you to Family Life Blended, which is the ministry I run for Family Life, where we specialize in working with step families. It'll connect you to my personal website, Smart Step Families, but it'll also show you about the Mindful Marriage, the conference we're doing, and the book itself. And let me just say, it's a do-it-yourself read, mm-hmm. but to do it with other people in a small group, I think is just so dynamic. Couples yes. supporting one another, that's great. The book's available wherever books are sold. So wherever you buy them, Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you'll be able to find it.
Cool. Ron, thanks, man, so much. Look forward to a good chance to maybe be in your presence again here soon. Actually, I think we're going to be together in November. Are you going to be there?
Yes, yes, all we're right. going to be there. Looking forward to
hanging out with you. Folks, thanks so much for listening to us on the Heartwork Podcast. Remember to follow us, share all those different things on the social media. Find us wherever you find your podcast, and we'll see you next week. Take care.